Welcome to the Rearview Mirror Podcast, looking back on all that we don't know and a few things that we do.
It's the first time I've ever seen you drink coffee.
This may be the first time I've ever drank coffee with you, that's for sure.
Now, we've met at a coffee place for years. Yeah. That was the impetus of this
hot tea
podcast.
Usually.
Are we on right now?
Yeah, we are. Okay.
I'm just talking away.
That's good. Nothing wrong with that. Good way to get going.
I don't know, man. You never know. We'll filter is probably
no,
not
I told
a bad
you a little
thing.
Bit ago, this guy was in town recently, and he bought this Keurig for me. I've never had a Keurig Moffus, and bought me a bunch of little K-cups, and I don't know, about 2 months ago, I thought, I'll try a cup of coffee. Maybe I do like it.
Yeah, you need a little energy,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I think you need some pep.
I'm a low-key kind of guy.
You are, yeah. This will chill. Maybe it'll help you.
So this is the Italian roast. I bought... They had it on sale, buy one, get one free at Publix when I walked in there. So I bought one of each of the flavors that Starbucks makes, just thinking, okay, I'll just
see if there's one.
They don't taste any different to me. But
really?
Yeah. But again, I'm not a coffee snob. So
what do you think?
I don't know. It's kind of fun. I get just a little hit. So I'm like, oh, I kind of like that feel. So we'll see. I don't know. Is that smart or bad? I'm an addict. So bitter.
Yeah.
It's kind of like my beer story, you know.
I know, that's what I was just going to ask you.
And I don't put sugar, I don't put creamer.
You don't like bitter things. What made you, why did you decide to do that?
It feels like, I don't know, I'm an old man. I feel like I'm supposed to drink coffee now. I don't know.
There's lots of things you're supposed to do that you don't do. So why would you pick that one?
I don't know, let's change the subject.
I mean, if you enjoy it, that's fine. But I'm just curious, it's very curious.
It's growing on me. I think it's becoming an acquired taste.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but I think I just realized the reason I'm craving it, that would be way too strong, but the reason it sounded good when I got here this morning is we've got grandbabies this weekend, and I made them some...
They're really not babies anymore.
I know, I keep calling them that, but I made them some really simple, easy cinnamon rolls this morning, and I ate one of them, and so I think I've got that sugary taste.
Mm-hmm. It is good with that.
This is kind of balancing it. Probably would have been better to do them at the same time.
I was going to say, most people eat those, balance that while they're... You know, while one's going on with the other.
I'm like God that way. I'm not bound by time.
No, you're not. For you, 1,000 years is a passing day. As brief as a few night hours.
That's sad.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so this
All right.
is, man,
so,
man, season two has cheers. Brought just so many new things.
Well, after a
already.
2 week break, this is almost season three now.
I think we could call it season three.
Yeah, just so we have something else to refer to.
You had
to
a fresh haircut for season three?
I did.
For those six people watching on video?
Yeah. Okay, speaking of video, usually have... You're right, 6, maybe 12 people that tune in on video.
How many people listen to this podcast?
Let's not talk about that, because neither of us know.
All right, go
That's
ahead.
What we know for sure. But I think it's in the millions now.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
It's got to be.
But on the episode, the last episode we did with discussing that Deloney talk we heard on Father's Day, 54 people watched on YouTube.
What was that about?
I don't know. I don't know what bots are, but that's the first thing I thought of is,
what?
Are these bots, these little, I don't know what they are, the things that make you think they're real people watching, but they're not really. You know?
You're not saying bot like I bought a
no,
new...
No, B-O-T-S, bots.
Bots,
yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know, 50, but that was crazy because usually we are like, at the most, maybe 15 people will watch on YouTube. But 54, I thought, huh, I don't know, wonder what that means. So... Maybe John Deloney just watched it over and over again since we
Maybe
were speaking
he did.
So well. Him,
talking
know?
About him, yeah. Get a little hit off
you
that.
You never know. He could have made him feel good. If so,
I'm
we're happy for him.
Enough, I would have done that. I mean, if you talked about me on the podcast all the time, I would watch it
well,
over
let's
and
talk
over
about
again.
You today. That could be a great
we
podcast.
We can. What do you want to know?
I don't know. Did y'all do anything over the 4th?
I am an addict, we so did have, I get...
Well, this is growing on me. I'm, you know, anyway. But did y'all do anything over the 4th? Were you in town or travel? What'd y'all do? Anything?
I don't even remember. When was that?
I don't know. Today's the 11th, so a week ago
Friday.
Yeah.
I think we had some friends over. Caroline was home. We had a family.
Y'all aren't the go-to-fireworks kind of people, are you?
Oh, man. It's funny. So, some in my family are, Jeff.
Okay, tell me about this.
I have never liked fireworks. I mean, this is going to be an easy one for probably you to figure out. I don't like fireworks.
Never have. Even little boy Steve.
Don't get the appeal.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
It's loud.
Uh-huh.
It's crowded. It's hot as hell. And it's noisy. And so a few years ago, we had a group, a family group. Let's call it 6 people that went to the Franklin Fireworks.
Okay.
My son and I did not want to go. The rest of the folks in the group did. It was one of the most miserable experiences we've had. The parking lot was packed. Everybody was impatient. You know, I'm not an aggressive driver, so there was all that. And I just, and so fortunately, my buddy that came over with his family last or whenever the fourth was, I wouldn't suspect this of him, but he feels the same way.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So we got out of that. Our wives almost went, could have gone. But at this point, yeah, I would just tell, Jen knows this, I would just tell her, you find a friend to go with.
Yeah.
I'm out on the fireworks.
Yeah. 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 It's funny.
I'm as anti, that's as anti, I feel about fireworks like I do Halloween. Wow. I wish they'd just both go away.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah, I could do that Halloween. Yeah, yeah. No, but fireworks, man. I don't like if I
I'm
could
guessing
go to,
you feel differently.
I do. Like, I love putting on fireworks. Like, that's some of my favorite memories in childhood and adulthood is just blowing up fireworks and blowing up things, unfortunately. Yeah. Oh, I almost blew up a car once, but that's a story for another day. But going to fireworks, like, I can appreciate a great fireworks display. The problem is I'm like you though. I do hate the crowd. So we did the Nashville fireworks thing maybe 7 or 8 years ago, which it was probably half the crowd that it is now, and it was miserable. I was like, okay, we've done that once. I'll never need to do that again. But I think it's gorgeous. I love the fireworks themselves. I just can't stand that kind of crowd for just to stand there shoulder to shoulder.
And everybody, you know, hey, I'm not knocking it. I know people enjoy that.
Yeah,
it's just not. It's not for me. I enjoy, like, I'll watch them on the symphony, like the national fireworks show with the symphony.
Yeah.
So that's, I like that. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, it's 68 degrees in my house when I'm watching it and I'm in my chair and,
curmudgeon. That's a good word.
I am a curmudgeon. Yeah. In that way I am. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't, the bang for the buck is just not.
Eh. Yeah.
And if you've seen one, you've kind of seen.
You're right. That's true, but I don't know. There's still something fun about it.
So, yeah, we didn't do any. We didn't go see any fireworks, thanks to me and my curmudgeon buddy. He's not a curmudgeon. That's why it surprised me.
Yeah.
I mean, he's very.
You thought for sure he'd be the guy.
Oh,
let's
man,
go.
I thought this idea is going to get some momentum, and I'm going to have to.
And your host.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go back to our first episode with the Lumineers song, I'm the Asshole That Doesn't Want to Go, you know. And I would have just had to live with that, and I would have held firm on that. Now, grandkids come around, that may be different. But,
yeah.
You know, I'll have to go to Disney, I'm sure, with them. And
you know, my kids, I think, are the only kids in Williamson County that didn't go to Disney as kids.
Wow.
I know.
You are right.
Explains a lot.
That does explain
a lot. We were terrible parents.
Did y'all have a dog, a pet growing up?
Yeah, as they got older, yeah.
Okay. We have one. I was going to say, if you didn't have a dog and you didn't go to Disney,
yeah, then they
I'm surprised they allow you residency in Williamson County, really.
But
if any county officials are listening.
But we took them to 30A.
Okay.
Well, so that may balance it out.
That makes a little bit of
difference. Yeah.
What's on your mind? I'm sure a lot because you're caffeinated today.
No,
maybe you should see how caffeinated Jeff does on this thing.
Let's see what happens. Look out.
You don't have a laptop and you're caffeinated.
I know. Well, we had a good conversation after that last episode about my dependency on my laptop and something in front of me during these conversations. So I thought about that a lot, and I thought, you know what? I don't need that. I just would rather sit here and chat and kind of see where our conversation is going, which is kind of what I was doing then. But there'd be something that I'd have on my mind, and I'd search it, and I don't know, just helps me think differently. But
destination, you feel like you had a destination, kind of.
That phrase is important to me, or that word seems to be important to me sometimes. Just knowing, wait, where are we going? But today, I'm like,
it's interesting because you said with your clients, you don't have that.
I know, that is interesting. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this question? Comes from just some stuff I scanned over the last few days, conversations I've had with people. Level of anxiety in general of people that you see, part A. And then what's the difference, do you think, between worry and anxiety?
Great questions. Yeah. Man, I don't know. It's so interesting. The word anxiety, I feel like, has become somewhat of a buzzword that we use really fast about anything that we're feeling that it feels uncomfortable, which in some ways actually is anxiety too, you know?
Right.
But I think what I see that I'm more concerned about is people who have anxiety about feeling anxiety. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's good.
Instead of being able to go, oh my gosh, I've got some anxiety, huh? Wonder what I should do with it. Wonder what it's telling me. Wonder how I need to address it. It's almost like, oh gosh, I think I'm about to have anxiety. Oh, now I'm anxious about maybe having anxiety. You know, to me, anxiety and even that word worry, was that the other word you mm-hmm. used? Anxiety and worry? They almost feel like synonyms to me, I think. I think they're words that we use when we don't know how to really name, I think emotionally, that we're actually just afraid would be the best word. You know, fear seems like the most core emotion for most of us as humans. And yet most of us aren't trained to think about, ooh, I'm feeling afraid right now. You know, I think in man world, you know, we're trained early on, don't be afraid. You know, if you're an athlete, you know, don't be afraid, take that shot. Don't be afraid, hit that guy. Don't be afraid, you know. And so we're told just to kind of repress, ignore fear, I think. And so through the years, we think, oh, well, I don't have fear. So that word or right. that concept doesn't even show up. But then I think the reality is we get older, you know, we get worried about losing a job. We get worried about not closing a deal. We get worried about how's my relationship with my wife or with one of my kids. And I don't think we ever connect it back to that, gosh, I'm afraid my wife and I aren't doing okay right now. Hey, wait a minute. Let me think about that and figure out what do we need to do to be doing better. Hmm. So, again, I think a lot of times with anxiety and worry, the inability to just kind of – I always tell people this, wait – we have a tendency to try to push anxiety away. You know, what can I do to feel better? Honestly, I think that's the birthplace of a lot of our addictive behavior sometimes is I'm feeling so much anxiety about this. Oh my gosh, what will make me feel better? Well, I'll right. just binge watch Netflix. I'll get another drink. I'll do whatever. I'll eat more ice cream. You know, I'll do something that makes me, quote unquote, feel better. So I've pushed my anxiety away. But the problem is it's like we're literally doing that. We're pushing it away, but it's going to creep right back, I think. I tell people, let's stop pushing anxiety away and let's pull anxiety really close and let's just look at it. Like, okay, I'm anxious. What's that telling me? I'm feeling unsafe or I'm feeling afraid or I'm worried about something or I'm concerned. Okay, cool. What is it that you're worried about? What is it that you're anxious about? I've got to give this talk tomorrow. Okay. What do you need to do to maybe help curb some anxiety? Well, maybe I need to put some notes down on paper. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be too simplistic, but I think sometimes it's just slowing down and going, gosh, what is it that I need to do to help address the topic that's behind the anxiety? But to do that, I got to pull it close and go, okay, wait, what's it telling me right now? I don't know. When I think about anxiety and worry, it feels like that getting stronger and healthier is not being afraid to look at them.
That's what I was going to ask you. So you think there's a healthy version of anxiety?
Mm-hmm. I would say this. I think anxiety, worry, fear are just almost like a natural neurobiological response to some kind of external stimulus. Mm. Something happens and boom, anxiety triggers.
So we're wired that way.
Yeah. I think it's kind of how our brains are wired to keep us alive. Steve, you and I go for a hike through the woods tomorrow and all of a sudden we hear that distinctive sound of the rattle of a rattlesnake.
One of us screams like a schoolgirl and runs.
That'd be two of us.
Okay, two of us scream like a schoolgirl and run.
But right? I mean, yeah. Is that anxiety bad in that moment? No, it's just super instructive.
Right.
I think of anxiety like the dashboards, the little lights on the dashboard of our car, you know, that it flashes on and it's saying, hey, warning, warning, something's going on. And if we just ignore that, at some point, the car may stop running.
Right.
But at the same time, I think that flash is telling us, hey, pay attention. Something's going on right now.
Yeah.
And so to me, that's where I think, you know, some people say, well, anxiety isn't good. I go, okay, let's don't fight over the word good or bad. But anxiety can be instructive if we'll watch it, if we'll listen to it.
Hmm. I think about... you know, when I have anxiety in my life mm-hmm. or friends I know that have anxiety. And one of the things I think we do put it in the bad camp.
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
quickly.
Well, it's not fun if we don't know what to do with it.
Sure. But it's always interesting to me, you know, in the cursory view of the Bible. I think there are a lot of things that it talks about that we just immediately assume, hey, I've got to take that and not do it. Like, don't be afraid. Okay, how do I not be afraid? Instead of, well, wait a minute, one of the reasons that's written is because I think God knew, obviously He wired us.
Yep.
I think He knew we would be afraid.
Yeah.
Don't have anxiety. Well, the reason is we anxiety is a normal part of life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a normal part of life.
It is. Especially in a world that's not the way it was intended to be, in a broken, right. fallen world. You know, we use that language a lot as people of faith, that this world's not the way God created it to be. He created it to be perfect, where, I guess, snakes don't bite us and wives don't have headaches, whatever the old jokes are, right? But we live in a world where really bad things can happen. So words like anxiety, they do exist. So I think when we live with an expectation going, gosh, there will be days and moments that are difficult, that are hard. And I guess just a big caveat here. There's a whole level of anxiety that of clinical anxiety, and I'm not referring to that. Like, I'm not a clinician.
That's a good distinction.
I've watched my beautiful bride in a season of her life years ago battle with some clinical anxiety, and, you know, she couldn't pull it close enough. She couldn't think her way through it. She couldn't exercise her way through it. She couldn't pray her way through it. It's just something in our DNA sometimes that, right. man, we need help, and I'm so thankful for multiple ways that you can get help in those kind of seasons. And I think when we're dealing with an anxiety that feels like it's in control of us, and I truly can't get on top of it, but it's on top of me, so to speak. Man, don't mess around with that stuff. Talk to a professional. Meet with a medical person who right. can help you. So I'm thinking anxiety in the way that we use it so broadly in our culture right now. I do want to make sure I'm clear on that distinction.
Yeah, because the clinical can be debilitating.
It is. Absolutely. I've seen that so often. And again, that's an area I can't work with. That's not my training, but I am so grateful to God for, gosh, I've seen certain kinds of therapy help people. I've seen pharmacological interventions mm-hmm. where people truly get that dark cloud of anxiety lifted from them, and I'm thankful for that. But for a lot of us, we just get anxious about the daily routines of life because we may not have the resilience or the fortitude to know how to lean in and go, hey, I need to address this issue. There's something I need to do to approach this.
I like the thought of bringing it closer.
Yeah. It's a great picture, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's and examining it a little bit.
Yeah. We may have talked about this once, though. It's such a great picture. A minute ago, you talked about, you know, in the Bible where God says, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, he says it. I remember reading one guy says it shows up in the Bible 366 times.
Right.
And his joke was, you know, that's one for every day of the year, even on leap year.
Yeah.
But, you know, the tone really matters there, I think.
Yeah.
When we used to get thunderstorms when our kids were little, they'd come running into the bedroom, you know, and I guess I could have yelled, don't be afraid, go back to bed. You know, and that would be don't be afraid. But I really feel like that almost every time when that would happen, I may go, hey, buddy, come here. You don't have to be afraid. And I'd pull the cover back and I'd invite him to come in and here, you can sleep with mom and me tonight. You know,
right.
It's that don't be afraid. I'm with you. I got you. We can navigate this together.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes in the faith community, you know, I've heard sermons where pastors have said, you know, if you have fear, you have sin. And I just think that's so pathetic, short-sighted, mm-hmm. and wrong. I think if you have fear, it means you're human. And it may mean you need to be reminded that God is near, that there's one who will walk with you. But to throw that in the sin category is really unfortunate because I think God's voice, when he says, do not be afraid in the scripture, is a voice of such paternal compassion. Hey, it is a jacked up world down there you're in, but don't be afraid.
Right.
I got you. The storm will pass.
I haven't heard I have heard that before. It hasn't been as prevalent in my world as a sin, but what I do hear a lot is a very matter-of-fact solution, mechanical. Hey, if you have anxiety, just do these three things.
And, yeah, prescriptive.
Yeah, and it'll go away.
Yeah.
And yeah. I haven't really found that to be the case either.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it can hover. It can just stay for a long time because, there's a reason our body's telling us that we're anxious. There's something that feels bigger than us. We feel threatened. We don't feel like we're safe. We're confused. We don't know how to move forward. And if we stay in that tsunami, then, yeah, we can be stuck for hours, days. I think one of the greatest gifts that we have sometimes in those moments is just having a good friend to say, hey, man, can I talk to you about some stuff that's just kicking my butt right now? You know, I feel like my anxiety's just been swirling around me. Sometimes it's just getting it verbally out instead of, you know, holding it so tight in here. And again, then almost feeling ashamed for being anxious instead of just going,
right.
gosh, anxiety's kicking my butt right now. Can I talk to you about it?
And sometimes that goes back to how you were brought up. I mean, you know, if those things weren't discussed aloud, you know, everything's fine, I'm good, everything's great, then, you know, there's no place for it, and there is some shame associated with it, I think, that you feel a certain way.
When you think about anxiety in your life, in your story, am I playing with that too much? I love to fidget, evidently. That's my new word. I realize I have to have a fidget toy.
So it's my kids are fidgeters.
Oh, really?
And when you were doing that, I was reminded of, like, when they were little and we go to the grocery store, I can remember Will just walking down the aisle, just touching everything. Just touching, like, literally just touching everything. I'm like, dude, stop
that's
touching
my boy.
It. Like, then Caroline's picking, it's like, just stop touching. And I don't know why that drove me crazy. You know, what's wrong with that? So touching, so.
Okay, so I'm fidgeting with my coffee cup. I'll stop for a minute. Now I'll fidget with the table, then my ring.
What do we? Maybe we'll pull your laptop back out.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't so bad after all.
The coffee makes you fidgety. No,
for you, are there like issues or topics or things that happen that you could almost predict? Going, oh my gosh, if work starts doing this, if Jen and I get in this place, that brings anxiety up? Or does anxiety feel like it almost surprise attacks you and you're just like, wait, where did that come? Like, how does that happen in your world? Just curious.
It's more top of my head. I feel like it's more predictable.
Okay.
Sometimes there are things that can cause anxiety and that can surprise the surprise attack, but I feel like they're more predictable.
Okay.
You know, in my world, I know over the course of any deal, you know, let's call it a year, 2 years, there's going to be half a dozen to 10 nights that I'm going to go to sleep and know that deal's dead.
Wow.
It's not going to happen.
Wow.
Most of the time it does.
Yeah.
But so I know ahead of time there's going to be, you know, we've got some that'll, you know, finish in the next couple of weeks, and I know there's going to be chaos in the next
some
weeks
hiccup
at some point.
It's just
the nature of things. And so that's a predictable anxiety. And I like your point earlier, bring that close. What do I need to do?
Yeah.
How can I step in?
Yeah.
And relieve that. I think, you know, certain topics of conversation,
you can feel it.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Even when, you know, and we've gotten better over this at this over the years, but when Jen will say to me, hey, tonight I really need to talk about something, and anxiety wells up in me, because I'm not a wordy guy, I'm not an information guy, I'm thinking, where's this, and sometimes I think, and I've, you know, like an idiot said before, well, that's an easy fit, let's just talk about it right now,
yeah,
and fix it. It's probably not a marital issue, it's like, hey, we're gonna, you know, we're taking the kids to Dallas in a few weeks. Hey, we really need to talk about that trip. Like, oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
What's there to talk about?
Yeah.
It's just flights and hotels.
Yeah.
But for her, she does a lot of the planning, and there's more to it. And she likes collaboration in that way, which I get, you know, and she doesn't want to do something that, you know, maybe I've thought about a different way, and she likes my buy-in on that. So sit down and do it, and I can provide some help there sometimes. But conversations like that involve logistics and planning, and longer conversations tend to give me anxiety.
So I really love that answer. If use the business deal for an example, or I mean, I guess either one of them. Jen saying, "Hey, we need to talk." How did you respond 15 years ago to those moments versus today? Like, are you seeing change in you? In how you address the anxiety, still pops up. You know, that's inevitable.
Right.
But as far as how you address it, are you seeing changes in you through the years in that?
I think so. In fairness, I would probably ask her.
I think
I'm getting better at the logistics part. On the deal side, on the work side, my role has always been defined and produce. So if there are issues that I consider to be minor, I'll leave them alone.
Almost ignore them?
Yeah, and let somebody, I know somebody else is going to deal with
it.
I've got to move on and find, you know, produce.
Yep.
Sometimes that's okay. in a healthy way, that's a, you know, that's your area.
Mm-hmm.
I got a text from a guy this morning about something, a meeting Monday. I said, hey, that's not my, you know, that's not my ball to carry. Call this person and you guys need to figure that out by Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I think is healthy, but ignoring it is not. Sometimes I have to step into areas that I'm not comfortable in. And that's a learned thing over the years. I've not always been good at that. And I'm probably not really good at it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to two meetings Monday that are not my area of expertise, but I need to be there to oversee, make sure in general they flow the way they need to flow, that are important to our work. Yeah. So,
that's a change. That's growth. That is over a
change,
time.
And I think I've learned on the stuff with Jen. I mean, you know, I think in a perfect world, I would plan the trip. However, she's much better at it than I am.
Mm-hmm.
I think just sometimes if I would plan one. Yeah. And, you know, relieve the stress a little bit. But she's probably not going to like the way I plan it.
Right.
But I think just learning to listen, you know, when she says, hey, let's talk about the trip. I try to say, hey, I know there are better parts of the day for me than others.
Yeah.
You know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm worthless.
Yeah.
At night is better early. So, you know, I'll try to say, hey, can we talk about it in the morning?
Yeah.
Can we talk about it at dinner tonight? Or
yeah,
let's go out and just have it, kick it around over dinner.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting as you're talking about that, I thought about, you know, Jen's wiring and Laura's wiring. Different, but there's some similarities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they both are love a plan. They both have a high need for order and structure. You know, and I say it with no disrespect to your wife or mine, but, you know, it's very different than the way you and I are wired, I think.
Yes.
But at that extreme, again, not throwing either of them under the bus when I say this, but at that extreme level, it's easy to become a person who suddenly needs control of how everything goes, you know? And as you were talking about that, I thought, you know, we started today talking about anxiety, and I connect it to fear. And I think anxiety is kind of a sideways expression of our fear. There's something I'm afraid of, but I don't know how to deal with the fear, so now I just kind of obsess, anxious
right.
about it. But there's another sideways way that I think our fear can come out sometimes, and it's more aggressive. It's where it's now, by golly, I'm gonna deal with this, and it is more on that control continuum, you know. And I just think that's worth making a note of as we're kind of kicking this around today. Is that I've seen both of those in me, where I can get to that anxious place where I'm just obsessing and the brain's spinning and I'm stuck and I'm. You know, oh my gosh, what if this happens? What if that guy shows up now? What if I don't have this report done? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? You know, or I get to the other side and I'm like, you know, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. I'll burn the town down. I'm going to get this done. You'll do it my way. This is how, you know, and I become this control monger.
Right.
And I just think, you know, as we're talking about this today, I think it's really good to see both of those sides of fear or anxiety. Is that one kind of shuts us down internally where we obsess, and the other one where we start trying to control. Because, you know, it's funny, I think in my work world, when I was growing up, anxiety would win. I would just, you know, let the stinking thinking start going on in my brain, and I'd be, you know, over-accommodating, or would be so fearful about a conversation I was going to have, and, you know, just get worked up on the inside. But in my parenting, it was like I would swing to the other end, and especially with a couple of our boys, man, I'd become such a control freak about, you know, command and control parenting, and this is what you've got to do.
Right.
But foundationally, what I want you to think about is it was the exact same thing. In both situations, there was some fear message that I wasn't able to acknowledge or pay attention to. So, like, you know, you and I have laughed about my interactions with Josh hundreds of times through the years, but, you know, there were these unknown fears to me of like, oh my gosh, Josh is going to become this really bad kid if I don't. If I'm not stronger, if I don't crush his world.
Right.
That was one of my horrible phrases I would use, you know? But again, what is that about? It's being unaware that, man, I'm afraid that my son's making bad choices and he's not going to be okay. Well, let's stop and objectively look like that. Look at that. Those aren't bad choices. He's just a knucklehead. He's just a risk taker. He's really okay. But when I don't draw the fear close, when I don't analyze it, then it metastasizes. I get scared. And so now, by golly, I got to be the big hand of the law, so to speak. And I think that's just the other side of anxiety is moving all the way over to now I have to control everything. And neither of those are fun or good places or healthy places to live.
Do you see certain personality types that gravitate mm-hmm. toward the control more than others?
You know, that'd be fascinating. Like, I don't know research on it, but immediately what comes to my mind is I bet anything the threes, the sevens, and the eights move toward that control really quickly because, you know, they're in that, in the Enneagram world, they're in that stance that's called the aggressive stance. They move fast toward relationship, not always in a healthy way, sometimes in a healthy way. So I would think they move toward that need to control things. But to be fair, ones can do that too, their desire for everything to look right. Sixes can do that out of that sense of loyalty and servanthood. Twos mm-hmm. can do it, I think, out of just that, well, my love is going to be able to help you, so by golly, I got to step in. So maybe it's not personality dependent the longer I talk about it.
It shows up differently maybe in different
personalities.
Maybe
that's the way to say it. Yeah.
I can be very controlling, mm-hmm. and it's really hard to see.
Yeah. Oh, yours would be much more subtle, I imagine.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I can do it.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, and some of it, I think, comes back to the core belief, too, on the control. I think if you gravitate toward the control, there probably is a tape playing in your head that, man, I really can control things.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
One of the things on this that we've talked about in this stage of life and doing this podcast is that list of things Ooh. Just shrinks every year.
It gets shorter, doesn't it?
That you think you control. Now, probably what we actually control, I don't know if there's anything on the list.
Right.
You know.
Honestly, I think you're right.
But the list in my mind grows shorter mm-hmm. every year.
Yeah.
And even the things I think I control that, you know, I look back and go, man, that was good that I led my kids this way or did that. It's got an opposite effect too. Mm-hmm. That may not be healthy mm-hmm. for them. You know, I'm sure mm-hmm. they're going to have stuff mm-hmm. when they get older that, man, I wish my dad wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
You know?
I do think that's the hardest thing in the world. And, you know, it depends on the day you catch me. I think one day I'm really good at this. I think the next day I'm not very good at this. But it's you know, control to me feels like, you know, got my hands gripped tight. You know, I'm holding on, right? And I feel like in my healthiest moments, I'm able to look at whatever the situation is and you know, probably very prayerfully begin to just open my hands up and go, this really isn't mine to control. I hold this loosely. I hold it open-handed. Mm-hmm. But that's hard to do. And the more valuable I think something is, my marriage, my children, my grandchildren, you know, I feel like I have to hold it tighter.
Right.
But, you know, I think as you get older, on the good days, there's just this, okay. You know, I think about that with retirement dollars. You know, you and I have talked about retirement money, a long life's journey. And, you know, I want to, you know, the last few years I've tried to be so disciplined and so steward better because, you know, that's been a catch-up game for me in my season of life. And so, you know, there's moments when I go, oh my gosh, I finally hit this number. I'm feeling good. We're going to be okay. And it's like I want to clamp it down. But I realize there's a certain component about any kind of investment that it's kind of really out of my control. I mean, crazy things could happen.
Well, they just did.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 years ago we had a pandemic that changed the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I can go there too. I can get into anxiety mm-hmm. about that.
Mm-hmm.
And, but if something like that happens, it's never enough.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, and anything could happen. And yeah, there's value to being disciplined. And, you know, I wish I'd have been more disciplined younger for sure. I've tried to teach my kids that.
Mm-hmm.
But the flip side of that is, you know, everybody is, mm-hmm. you are where you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
you know, there's some amount that, I guess I used to think of those as intersecting tracks. Like, if I do this, you know, I used to think, man, if I give.
Oh, then.
He will undo all of my, you know, irresponsible financial activities.
Yeah.
Like one would offset the other.
If only he was that cause and effect, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and there are, I have countless examples in my own life of where I feel like that's these cause and effect. But really, as I get older, I think it's more like two parallel tracks.
Mm-hmm.
There are things, you know, will this meeting Monday help our deal close on time? Yeah. I don't know.
But it's the right thing to do.
I need to be there? Probably.
Yeah.
the two may never meet, you know, and I may never know if one calls the other. But so I think staying in the lane, you know, as our AA friends say, just the next right thing.
Yeah, that's right. I love that.
And but the outcome, I think, is where I've changed over the years is I just don't control the outcome.
Steve, that's rich right there. I mean, I hope people hear that, that I want to do what feels reasonable and responsible, but at the end of the day, I have no control on the outcome.
And the latter, I think, has been in, it's more in my DNA.
Mm-hmm.
The reasonable and responsible has been a learned thing for me.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And I'm still learning.
Yeah.
And depending on who you interview and ask that question to.
you do well, or you really suck at
man.
It, right?
Man. As Patrick Swayze said in Roadhouse, opinions vary. And that?
Have you watched the new Roadhouse sidebar real quick?
No, I'm kind of saving it for when Jen's out of town. And it's like, that's a, you know, that's okay. Going to be a special night.
If you want it alone, fine. Call me if you want somebody to come watch it. I'd watch it again. We'll make some big old steaks. It's
well, first of all,
fun.
It's not going to be a one-night watch. I'm going to watch that over. One of the reasons I think Jen's, we rarely watch network TV anymore. And right. One of the reasons she's glad is because in the day when I would scroll through the channels and that movie was on, we're stopping and watching it.
The old one?
Oh, yeah. And she's like, oh, my God, I cannot watch that again. I'm like, what's wrong with you? So she has some character flaws, too, like that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Golly. Yeah.
I mean, the first one's, I mean, it's the standard for sure. Right. I mean, there's too many iconic actors in it. But the second one, it's fun. They
I cannot
job.
Wait. Yeah, yeah, I'm no, saying that's what's on
okay.
my list.
Oh,
I'm
that's
saving.
So cool.
Yeah,
so. Okay, well, I got to hear about that one.
Yeah, so reasonable and responsible.
Yeah.
They don't resonate with me, but I'm trying.
yeah, they do. They do.
I had another question, but it left me.
Okay.
You said this earlier, and I want to clarify a little bit. Do you sure. think worry and anxiety are synonymous?
I don't know how to differentiate them, really.
Okay.
I mean,
I'm asking. I don't have
yeah,
an answer, and
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't fight over it. If somebody has a great definition, I'd be cool with that, too.
But I have a lot of people I know that say, I'm a worrier.
Uh-huh.
How if they were sitting in your office, how would you interpret that?
Well, what would come to my mind immediately is, gosh, what is it that you're afraid of? That would be my question. Now,
so you wouldn't ask them, what are you worried about?
Well, I might. I mean, nuance okay. it that way initially. But what's going on in my mind is I'm going, huh, there's something they're afraid of that's causing them to stay stuck in a worry loop. Same thing I would say about anxiety. There's something that they're afraid of that's causing them to stay in the anxiety loop. And again, there's legitimate things to be worried or afraid about. Like, I mean, I'm, you know, God forbid, but you just think about this Camp Mystic horrific tragedy.
Oh,
you know, I just can't hardly talk about it. Just fathom it. These parents who, you know, for days can't find their kids. I mean, worry, anxiety, of course they're sleeping with it. They're living with it every second of every day. Of abso-dang-lutely. Whole different level, whole different category of thing. So, you know, nothing but compassion for that. But I think for a lot of us, we've just learned to talk about, oh, I'm just so worried. I'm a worrier. I'm always worried about something.
Yeah.
And it's almost like we never stop to go, well, wait, what's behind that worry? You go, these mystic parents can tell you exactly what it is. Where's
yes.
my daughter? You
worst
know?
Fears have been realized.
Yeah, horrific, horrific. But for a lot of us, we just, oh, I'm just a worrier. I'm just that way. And I think being healthy, I think, is being able to go, well, wait a minute. What is it I'm worried about? And, you know, I feel like around the fourth, and I guess I just must have my head in a hole because I didn't hear about all these, I don't know if they're conspiracy theories or if they were true things going on in our country, but I had several people tell me they were worried about travel because of terror cells and, I mean, stuff that, terror cells, I mean, stuff that I don't even, didn't show up on my radar. So these people were worried a lot. This was, I'm just worrying about everything. And I think when I hear that, there's this part of me going, well, wait a minute, is there some place to understand where's that coming from? You know, is this good information you're getting? Is this really happening? So I think sometimes we create things just to hold on to. It's almost like we find comfort in anxiety. We kind of find comfort in worry instead of just being able to go, hey, we're supposed to go visit some friends in Austin. We're going to drive down there. It's kind of like the book of James says in the Bible. Tomorrow we'll go to town if the Lord wills.
Right.
You know, tomorrow we'll go to Texas if the Lord wills. Like, I feel like we're losing that because we feel like I've got to do everything I can to stay safe. And again, don't be reckless. But at the same time, I think just because I pick up something on social media saying ABC is about to happen, that feels obsessive to me. So I think sometimes worry, anxiety, they do feel very synonymous to me.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you said safe, I think. We talk about that a lot. I think Jen mm-hmm. is drawn towards safety.
Yeah.
I am in some ways, but not as drawn. But I think, too, the more chaos you've been exposed to, mm-hmm. the less safety
that's fair.
Probably, I don't know if need's the right word.
Work either way.
Yeah.
You know, some people have had so much chaos, they're just used to it. Some people had so much chaos that they're constantly terrified of it.
Right.
You know, I think our bodies can respond either way to that.
Right. Right.
You know, it's like in the Enneagram 6, we talk about the phobic and the counterphobic 6. The phobic 6, their fears metastasize and you really hear it quickly. They're worst case scenario thinkers. The counterphobic 6, they become the, you know, high risk, high sport adventurer people, you know, but they're dealing with fear. It's just how they deal with it differently. You know,
right.
Oh my gosh, it's going to get me. Oh my gosh, I'll go tackle it. You know?
Right.
But I think you're right. It could be either of those ways.
Hmm. That's good.
Yeah. I enjoy talking about this. Yeah, I didn't know we'd end up here.
I didn't either.
That's the joy of not having my computer.
Oh man. Have you enjoyed that today? It's good, bad. You worried about it?
Good. No? I had some brilliant quotes on there I would love to share that would have changed people's lives, but you know, I can't. No, I'm kidding.
You're so brave. I'm so brave. The kids say. You're so brave.
I don't even know what that word means. Oh. All right. Anything else for today?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's good.
Well, tune in next week when we do something else.
Welcome to season 3, episode 1.
Have a great week, everybody.